This program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Negative words will produce negative thinking. Negative thinking will produce negative feelings and emotions. Negative feelings will produce negative decisions. Negative decisions will produce negative actions. Negative actions will produce negative habits. Negative habits will produce negative character. And negative character will produce the wrong destiny for your life. Please understand something. Satan only needs three steps to ruin your life. He'll speak his words, get you to think in line with his words, and then once he gets you in the emotion area, then he can move you away from the will of God for your life. You see, Jesus had emotions, but emotions never had Jesus. And you know something? You've got to be careful, because what the devil wants to do is he wants to weigh you down with the affairs of the world. He wants to weigh you down with things that are going on. He wants to get your heart heavy, and he wants to get you depressed. Because if he can get you depressed, then he can cause you to be, you know, paralyzed. And then before long, your feelings will be so paralyzed that and so heavy that you'll start looking for the wrong type of relief.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles this morning, go with me to the book of St. John, chapter 10 and verse 10. St. John, chapter 10 and verse 10. We are talking about the eight steps to life in abundance to the full till it overflows. St. John, chapter 10, verse 10. We're going to show you how to get out of depression and stay out of depression. Verse 10, let's read. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Amplified Bible says the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. That's the thief. The thief comes. Satan is responsible for stealing, killing, and destroying. He says, I came that they may have and enjoy life. How many of you know it's all right to enjoy life? They may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You see, if you ever wanted to know the will of God for your life or how you should be living, Jesus tells us here that we should have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. In fact, if I were to come and ask you what type of life should you be living, you should respond like this: in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. I mean, if you were to go home and the devil meets you at the end of your bed, in your bedroom at 12 o'clock midnight, and ask you what kind of life do you think you ought to be living, you should respond like this: in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. I mean, folks, you can get a bill, and that bill can start talking to you and tell you how you don't have this and how you lack that. You ought to be responding to the bill like this: in abundance, to the full, till it overflow. In fact, turn to your neighbor right now and tell them the type of life you ought to be living. Turn to them. Tell them: in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. How many believe that this morning? That is the will of God for your life, to live life in abundance, to live life to the full, to live life till it overflows. That is God's will for you. And we can't settle for anything less than that. And somehow or another, we find ourselves settling for that when that's not the best. That's not what God wants you to have. He doesn't want you to live a life of average. He don't want you to live a life of barely making it. He wants you to live a life of abundance. And I'm not just talking about finances. A lot of times people try to define abundance just purely by money. Money cannot define abundance. Money by itself cannot define prosperity. It cannot define abundance. Money is just a piece of that pie. You can't take one slice and use it to define the whole pie. You got to understand something, folks. God wants you to have abundant life in every area. He wants you to have an abundance of wisdom, an abundance of anointing. He wants you to have an abundance of joy in your marriage. He wants you to have an abundance of joy with your family, on your job, man. And he wants you to have abundance of money. But you just can't ever say abundance and then money. No, you got to say abundance and then life. He wants every area of your life to be full, to the full, till it overflows. And it can happen like that. I said to you last week, what good is it for you ladies to have $1 billion in the bank and have a crazy husband at home? That certainly is not abundant life. All you are is just a poor woman, you know, with $1 billion in the bank because you still got a crazy man at home. Or you can have, you know, a healed body and have no money in the bank. Well, that you're just a poor man with a healed body. See, God wants every area of your life to be to the full, in abundance, until it overflows. Every area. He wants every area. He wants you delivered, praise God. He don't want you walking in the curse of the law, hallelujah. He don't want no lack in your life. He's a father. But to try to use money to define prosperity or to define abundance is just incorrect. You can't do that because money does not define abundance and it does not define prosperity. Prosperity and abundance deals with every area of your life. He is your daddy and he wants it all good. Amen. He wants you feeling good, looking good, dressing good, driving good. Good in your emotions, good in your thinking, good in your marriage, good on your vacation, good on your job, good everywhere you go. He wants it good. Something good is about to happen to you today. Amen. And so we've been talking to you about your part in reaching this destination of life in abundance to the full. Till it overflows. We have our part and God has his part. And we've got to begin to understand what we need to do on our part in order to see us arrive at this destination. So we started a few weeks ago and we informed you that the first place we got to start is the Word of God, because the Word of God is incorruptible seed. God made us out of the dust of the ground because he intended for us to receive his word as seed that will give harvest to the life that we experience. You know, you have corn seed, you have collard green seed, you have seed that will produce oranges. Well, the Bible you have on your lap, that's called life seed. It's the seed that will give harvest to whatever life you're living. But you've got to understand your part is to make sure you get a hold of that word of God. The way your life could be in line with that word that's on your lap. But you've got to get that word. In the beginning was the Word. God started everything with the Word. So everything we start, we're going to have to start with the Word too. See, if you can trace what you're doing right now back to the Word of God, then you're going to be okay. But if you can trace, if you go backwards and don't bump into the Word of God, then folks, you might end up in a struggle all of your life. But I can promise you, folks, with authority and seed, you can do anything you want to do. But you have to have the Word. The Word is the origin of prosperity. The Word is the gateway to that abundant life. The Word of God, hallelujah. The Bible says we were born again, not from corruptible seed, but from incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. So the Word is where everything starts. I told you last week that in general, words will frame the way you think. And so you've got to pay attention to what you're hanging around. You got to pay attention to what you're hearing. You can't be hanging around Shaquita them and Pooka them and they're talking a bunch of negative words, because those negative words will frame your thinking. So because what they're doing is they're sowing seeds in your life. I mean, you're around people that keep throwing seeds in your life. You go over mom and them house and somebody throws some negative seeds in your life. You go over your best friend's house and they're throwing some negative seeds in your life. Honey, you're going to have to make a decision to either talk to those people so they can change the way they talk, or you're going to have to take the advice that God gave to Abraham, get out of your father's house and from your kindred and go to a place where I'll show you of, and then I can talk to you about blessed to be a blessing. So words are very important. Words will determine step number two. We talked about this last week. Words will determine your thinking. Your thinking is framed, will be framed by the words that you hear. So who's framing your thinking? Is the Word of God responsible for framing the way you think? Or are negative words coming from somewhere else responsible for framing the way you think? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. And you've got to ask yourself, what do I think? I mean, am I thinking a way that maybe mother put in me, or thinking a way that maybe father put in me, or how did I get this way of thinking? And if that thinking doesn't line up with the Word of God, then the destiny won't line up with the Word of God. Because the way you think will determine the destiny you'll end up in. So you got to ask yourself, how am I thinking about life? What am I thinking about the success or failure in life? How are you thinking? Your thinking now will frame the rest of your life. So today we want to talk about this third area, your emotions, your feelings. You see, we know that the progression goes like this. The Word of God will produce thinking that will line up with the Word of God. Thinking that lines up with the Word of God will produce feelings and emotions that will line up with the Word of God. Feelings and emotions that line up with the Word of God will produce decisions that line up with the Word of God. Decisions that line up with the Word of God will produce actions that line up with the Word of God. Actions that line up with the Word of God will produce habits that line up with the Word of God. Habits that line up with the Word of God will produce character that lines up with the Word of God. And character that lines up with the Word of God will bring you into your destiny that will be in line with the Word of God for your life. But now if you have negative words will produce negative thinking. Negative thinking will produce negative feelings and emotions. Negative feelings will produce negative decisions. Negative decisions will produce negative actions. Negative actions will produce negative habits. Negative habits will produce negative character. And negative character will produce the wrong destiny for your life, or a negative destiny for your life. And that's how it works. So today we're going to spend time on this area of emotions. Please understand something. Satan only needs three steps to ruin your life. He'll speak his words, get you to think in line with his words, and then once he gets you in the emotion area, then he can move you away from the will of God for your life. So let's again define emotions. Remember, several months ago I did a series on emotions. Let's define emotions once again. Emotions are feelings on the inside. Emotions are feelings on the inside, caused by pain or pleasure. Feelings on the inside caused by pain or pleasure, designed to move you in a direction. Emotions are feelings on the inside caused by pain or pleasure, designed to move you in a direction, up, out, and away from your design purpose for life. You can just look at the word emotion and you see the motion in the word. And that's where, you know, Satan or God can either get you in motion to either go the right way or the wrong way. Now, one of the things I want you to see is that how we deal with our emotions will determine whether we experience the blessing or the curse in our lives. How you deal with your emotions will determine whether you will experience the blessing or the curse in your life. Please understand something, folks. God gave us emotions, and he gave us emotions so they can be gifts to us. But he never intended for the emotions to have you. He never intended for your emotions to take charge over your life. You are supposed to take charge over your emotions and not let your emotions take charge over you. God has given us emotions, and those emotions can be a blessing. They can be holy emotions, and they can enhance our worship time with the Lord. But then if you allow those emotions to take charge over your life, then those emotions will move you up, out, and away from the will of God. And all of a sudden now, instead of you having authority over your emotions, they now have authority over you. Let me use this illustration to show you how very important it is for us to take charge over our emotions. Let's say there was a guy who purchased a brand new automobile. He was driving down Old National Highway, and some guy came on the side and just hit his brand new car. Well, he was a born-again Christian. He was a member of World Changers Church International. He knew that if he can control his tongue, he can control his entire body. Well, he got out the car intending on and controlling his mouth, but the guy that hit him jumped out the car and started cussing and fussing and making all type of false accusations. And I mean to tell you, boy, he just let it rip. And all of a sudden, the guy looked at him and just punched him. Well, the guy who he punched pressed charges against him. Now, notice he was in his new car going towards the will of God. But at that intersection, and they had that wreck, he punched that guy, and all of a sudden the guy pressed charges. When the guy pressed charges, they put him in jail. It was on the weekend, and the judge is not going to be back until Tuesday. He works on Saturday, and they said, if you miss coming to work on Saturday, you're going to lose your job. The wife had a discussion with him last week about how they need to tighten up on their finances and how she can't take it no more and put up with it no more. If there's one more incident, I'm going home to mama. Then he finally gets out of jail on Wednesday. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have his wife at home. He don't know what's going on. How did he get so far over here, he asked himself. How did I get so far away from the will of God? It started all the way over here when you allowed your emotions to take charge of your life instead of you taking charge over your emotions. And that's how important it is. It's the same thing that happens on a job. You know you got 3 kids at home. You know you have a house note. You know you have people to take care of. And you let somebody come in and you call yourself getting offended and mad and let your mouth go off and say something you're not supposed to say at your boss, and then they end up firing you all because you couldn't control your emotions, and you got to come home and tell them 3 babies you don't know how you're going to feed them because your emotions took you away from the will of God for your life. So don't tell me that understanding emotions are not very important. They're very, very important because they can move you in a direction where you don't need to go. And so, folks, the ultimate curse in the garden that day, in Genesis chapter 3, the ultimate curse in the garden that day was the curse of being emotionally ruled. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 3? Satan shows up in the body of a serpent, and he asked Eve, he said, Eve, what did the Lord tell you? Eve said, God told us we can eat of all the trees of the garden, but we can't eat of the one that's in the midst of the garden. For the day that we eat of it, we will surely die. Now notice what Satan starts doing. The first thing he's got to do to try to get you out of the will of God for your life is he's got to speak his words and get you to receive his words. So now he speaks words that oppose the word of God. You shall not surely die. Well, that's not what God said. God said, you shall surely die. You shall not surely die. Those words now were heard by Adam and Eve. It began to shape their thinking because, you know, and then he says, well, the only reason God don't want you to eat it, because if you eat of this bad tree in the midst, the one he told you not to eat of, then you're going to find out the difference between good and evil. You see God trying to hold out on you. That way those words, all of those words are now shaping the way you think. All the words they're hearing now is framing the way that they think. And now all of a sudden, there were people who were ready to obey God. They now look at the tree as a tree to be desired. They're now in their emotions. They're being seduced by this tree. Now they heard the words. Now they got to thinking. And now they are feeling like God's trying to hold out on them, feeling like it's okay to eat that tree. And their feelings move them away from the will of God for their life. And they ate it. And Satan sitting back there just laughing because he said, all I had to do is say the words. You got to think, and then your emotions move you in the place where I desired you to go in the first place. Amen. So the curse in the garden that day was the curse of being emotionally ruled. That's the ultimate curse that took place. Now, folks, Jesus has come to set us free from the curses of the law. And part of that simply means that we don't have to be emotionally ruled. Part of that is understanding that you can take charge over your negative emotions, that you can take charge over depression, that you can take charge over inferiority and insecurity or any of those emotions that try to attack you. Please understand that those things are being used by the kingdom of darkness to try to lure you away from the things of God for your life. Well, how did Jesus handle it? Because I was very interested to see if Jesus had his emotions ever come against him and did they ever challenge him? Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Because if Jesus is handling it right, then you and I can handle it right. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, folks, let me give you a definition for temptation. Temptation is pressure that's applied to your thinking. Pressure that's applied to your thinking. Now, you've heard me define it in the past as pressure applied to your flesh. Well, we know ultimately that the flesh is a way of thinking that opposes the word of God. Temptation is what happens when seduction shows up in your life and puts pressure on your thinking to try to get you to change your mind and to get your feelings to line up with that changed mind so you can be led in the wrong direction. For example, you are a married man. There's some little cute little secretary that just started work that day. She wears a little tight dress that's so tight that turned her from bow-legged to not knee. Do you understand? And all of a sudden you hear this seductive voice that says she wants you. You're 45. She wants you. You still got it. It's pressure on your thinking when you know your thinking says, I am married. I am committed. I am a Christian. I'm Holy Ghost filled. But then the seduction wants to put pressure on that thinking to try to get the thinking to line up with the seductive words. Then the emotions will line up, and then you'll find yourself in the bed with somebody you're not supposed to be in the bed with. And you can't end up in the bed with somebody and then act like you don't know how you got in the bed. Golly, I'm in the bed. How did I get in the bed with her? My clothes off. How did my clothes get off? I don't even know how my clothes get off. And who is this lying next to me? And they got their clothes off too. My, how did this happen to me? It happened because you allowed seduction to put pressure on your thinking, and your thinking changed your feelings. You don't fall into sin. You walk in it. Oops, I tripped and fell into sin. Nope. So Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now the Amplified says here, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who had been tempted in every respect as we are, yet he didn't sin. You see, Jesus had emotions, but emotions never had Jesus. And you know something? You've got to be careful, because what the devil wants to do is he wants to weigh you down with the affairs of the world. He wants to weigh you down with things that are going on. He wants to get your heart heavy, and he wants to get you depressed, because if he can get you depressed, then he can cause you to be, you know, paralyzed. And then before long, your feelings will be so paralyzed that and so heavy that you'll start looking for the wrong type of relief. And then you'll be going into the liquor store and try to buy you some Mad Dog and some Red Lady 21 and Mad Dog 2020 and some Brass Monkey that'll make tomorrow come real quick. And all he wants to do is to depress you. And folks, I need you to know that you don't have to be depressed. Hallelujah. You're free from depression, hallelujah.